It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It's me, Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach and the host of the Coming Out Lounge. And I'm going to do a little precursor to today's episode because today's a pretty special day. You're getting a bonus episode today because it is October the 11th, National Coming Out Day. And each year when this day rolls around, I like to do something different and special. So I found someone that was a really cool interview. You're going to get back-to-back episodes. So one's going to come out today and one's going to come out tomorrow. We're going to take the interview and split it in half. So I want you to come back tomorrow. Make sure you listen to it. All I'm going to tell you is we're looking at a different side of the closet door today. We're honoring some people who often get forgotten. We're going to be talking about who those people are and their feelings and what it's like to be on the other side of that closet door. And with that, I'm going to leave you with it and say, Happy National Coming Out Day. Glad you're here. Glad you're listening. And hopefully you will really appreciate the direction we took the interview today.
You know, you hear the words ring out, frankly, my dear, I'm gay. Or maybe you discover some history files on a computer to websites you didn't even think you'd ever visited. But regardless of the way that you find the truth from your spouse about them being gay or lesbian, honestly, you're never quite really prepared to have your life completely unraveled. And in most cases, neither was your spouse. Now, even though you may be the one who's coming out, what begins to unravel and unfurl is really something that no one can quite be prepared for. And as you stand there as that man or that woman who's been married to this person, and you hear those words, you know what, you're not really my cup of tea, and you never really were, your heartstrings begin to crumble, anger begins to show up. And today we're going to go in and we're going to really explore what it looks like on the other side of the closet. We're going to come straight from the heart and straight from direct personal experience with Emily Reese of Same Side Support for Straight Spouses. And she's bringing herself and her powerful story of deconstructing and reconstructing her life, her relationship with her husband, being a mother of her own children, and helping everybody step into this beautiful place of coming out of the closet. She was recently featured on a TEDx talk in Reno, Nevada, and she did a beautiful job. And we're going to have that link right there for you on the show notes to check out. And she's really shining the light on how to raise your family rainbow style in a modern world where families are families and they all take on different shades of the rainbow when you love and understand in the best way possible for you. And that's what this show is all about. So I'm going to caveat that if we get into this conversation today because it's completely unscripted and if we're going really well and I'm really enjoying what's happening, which I know I already am because I've already talked to Emily, we may go halfway into this one and then you may hear me say, and for the rest of the story, we're going to come back next week. So I'm just letting you listeners know that may be something that happens today. So let's get right into it. First of all, I just want to say I'm really blessed, honored, and thankful to have a straight spouse and especially this straight spouse on the Coming Out Lounge. Welcome to the show, Emily Reese.
Thank you, Rick. Your opening in the very beginning sent some chills in my skin and my heart. You know, had some feels because it really is. I mean, it was definitely, you know, not hard on description, but I got it. And I think a lot of other straight spouses who might be listening to this will, their hearts will also be very drawn towards having this conversation. So I appreciate that opening.
You know, I haven't done this very much and it's not because I didn't want to have the conversation. It's just as we keep addressing things and new stuff comes up.
Yeah.
I think it's really poignant right now to be having this conversation because we're on the verge of who knows what's going to happen in U.S. politics right now, but it could be that things could get rolled back in time. And I hate to see that because I think we're finally starting to come around some bends of acceptance, But one area that always gets left in the dust, I believe, is this mixed orientation marriage conversation. Everything is very much geared to, and I'm being stereotypical in what I'm about to say, and I know that, but it's very much geared to the younger generation, the kids that are teens or younger and young adults. There's a whole segment of society, as you well know, Emily, that is living a whole nother life in this coming out journey. That's what this conversation is going to be all about today. I want to be open. I've told Emily there will be things that I won't delve into because I respect her and I respect the work she's trying to do on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of, you know, I know that did send some chills, but I wanted to like set the tone of this is what happens. People find out. They find out because of something they see on a phone, or they find out because of a condom wrapper that may be found in the house going, what the f***, where was this coming from? You know, a lot of times it is the history that's left on a computer that drives the questions. I'm going to let you just kind of free form here for a while and just kind of step into what you do, you know, talk your story in a way that makes you feel more comfortable before I really start asking the deep questions. So,
if at any point you want to chime in, you feel free. I guess one of the things I was thinking about that I want to make sure and acknowledge before I get started, there's a couple of things. One is, I know that we say a lot of times gay or lesbian, but in my experience and the experience of many people that I've been a part of, it's certainly transgender is also a area where people are experiencing someone coming out. Yep. It is extremely unique in its nuances of what you have to deal with. And there are times where when I'm speaking, the other caveat I wanted to give is, you know, I cannot possibly represent all of the straight spouse experiences that are out there. And so one of the things that I found is just listening and saying when I don't know what to do. But one of the most important things for straight spouses is to find cadres of people that can help them through these things, because it can take 2 years, it can take 10 years. Every experience is different. And as you know, Rick, every relationship is different and it has its own issues. So, you know, we can speak pretty blandly at times, but it's much more deep and unique than what we can even touch on here today. So for the most part, I'm speaking through my own experience, but I will do my best to share bits of what I know from other people with, you know, while, you know, maintaining their confidentiality. So,
and I'm glad you brought that up, because when you and I talked, you know, before we got on the air, we both said we wanted to ensure that, you know, as we talk today, that we're truly talking from that perspective of our own experience, you know, and when I work with clients, when I go into that client realm and work with clients on their stuff, I really try to encourage them that what you're going to hear from me and the questions you're going to get asked are going to come from my expertise and my coaching more than anything, but it's also going to come from a perspective of here's what I've found with other clients. Here's what I've experienced in my own way, but by no means is this like the umbrella that says this is the way to do it.
This is
one of the reasons that I invited Emily, because I knew just in the little bit of time we talked that her and I could do this, I believe, really well and represent everybody as best as we can to the point that we are just who we are. And these are our personal experiences. So,
and in the end, it's just encouraging people to know that they're not alone, even if they don't share the exact same experiences. Because I think, you know, when I first found out about my now ex-husband, I felt very alone. And it wasn't so much that I figured there were more people out there that had had that experience. But, you know, I had lived a very, I guess, for lack of a better word, sheltered life. It was a good life. I figured bad things would happen, but this was the furthest thing from my radar.
Yeah.
And so when it happened, I wanted to find other people, but then I also wanted to have the opportunity to not have to backtrack, because I was operating from the assumption and the overall principle that we would be staying married. And I didn't want to tell people what was going on and receive the help that I really needed, because I didn't want to have to say, oh, you know, not just kidding, but, oh, he's worked through it. Oh, we're staying married. I mean, that, you know, when you're burying your soul like that, it's a difficult place to be. So I stayed quiet for a very long time. And at the time, there is a wonderful organization that I will probably speak of fairly frequently on this podcast is the Straight Spouse Network. Now, it has been around for quite a while. When I went through my crisis, is what I'm going to call it at this point, but crisis of relationship and marriage, it was not what I thought I needed, because even though the Straight Spouse Network, you know, does not necessarily try to sway people towards divorce, the very word divorce, I didn't even want to look at. Yeah. So I shied away from any kind of group that would even talk about that. And that's my own personal journey. And there was also at the time Exodus International. I'm sure that you know what that is.
Oh, very much so.
It's thankfully debunked now for the most part. There's another offshoot. But, you know, when I reached out to them, they said, well, we're not really here for you. Mm-hmm. We're here for your
spouse.
Husband. Yeah. Right. And so I didn't really have a lot of places to turn. So mm-hmm. I muddled through it. We had a counselor. I had a few people that I shared things with, and the further out that I got, the more that I did share. And that was a big part of the healing too.
Sure. But I think what's interesting is you're bringing up stuff that I don't know when we're in the throes of this, whether you're the spouse who's coming out or the spouse who's being quote unquote left, so to speak. I don't think either of you can really understand that you used the term, I felt like I was alone and I was the only one. It's the same thing that happens on the other side of that equation. The person who's been married and is coming out, they feel like they're the only one too. Even though, and I'm going to put this in because I know somebody listening is going to go, wait, they have a whole gay community. Yes, they have a whole gay community. What is making them feel alone though is they haven't been gay their quote whole life. They haven't been out their whole life. So there's actually some stigma there. And I've shared this numerous times about when I went to a bar right after I came out and got accused of being a breeder by a guy that I was talking to. And it was like, there we go. So I love that we're doing this because I'm going to try to help pull the parallels out as I see them, because the loneliness is something that's happening on both sides of that fence. And I think it's really important to people to see that.
When you use the term breeder, I just want you to know too, that even a lot of straight spouses can't stand that term. Yeah. So that's certainly one thing we have in common.
Yeah.
Because that's not how we want to see ourselves. Although I will say, typically, people who go through this experience at some point feel as though they're a beard.
Yep.
And it's difficult to look past that. And then it also depends on, you know, the other person a lot mm-hmm. of times too, whoever that is. Usually, I think that typically the experience that I've seen from other people, not necessarily my own, is that, gosh, maybe we should talk more about me. I don't want to necessarily get into everybody.
Well, no, but that's okay. I like where you're going, because I think this is where we can kind of jump back and forth on things. So let's talk a little bit about that beard terminology, because personally, I find it offensive for both people.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how that made you feel to be considered, or people say, well, you were just a beard. What shows up for you?
So the overarching principle that I can bring into that is, it's hard for a straight spouse to look past that, because it's, and again, I'm only going to speak from my experience, but, you know, when something happens like this, where a spouse comes out, you know, the entire moments before that, all the way back into that person's life, has been some sort of process of coming out for the gay, lesbian, transgender, queer spouse, right?
Right.
But we had no idea. Mm-hmm. And so while the coming out process is not easy, and there's certainly for that person, that moment, once it's disclosed somehow, it's not going to be easy. It's really going to be difficult for that straight spouse.
Yes.
Because there's been a process of some sort for that person. And we didn't know. It was just like getting hit by a truck. And all of a sudden, you're having to deal with everything that happened up to that, you know. So now it's hard for us not to see ourselves as a beard mm-hmm. a lot of times. And so the biggest thing that I can say to any LGBTQ person who comes out, whether advertently or inadvertently, you need to stick around and help that person process as much as you can. And that's going to mean a lot of pain for that person who comes out, because we have to make sense of our lives before that moment backward. And it's very, very difficult. And there's still every once in a while, I think, oh, that makes sense. And it's 10 years out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things that I do a lot too, because I speak on PFLAG panels a lot around, you know, this whole coming out thing is to try to help people understand that. And it's one of my principles that the people who do the work with me one-on-one, nobody gets around this principle. It's like, here's the deal, guys and gals. You've been preparing for this, quote unquote, your whole life. You may have not realized you were doing this preparation. Right. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's unconscious. But the moment we, I'm putting myself in that arena, we drop the bomb and say, frankly, my dear, I'm gay, then there's a lift, whether it's a beautiful lift, still an anxious lift, or there's a lift that happens within our own sense and sensibility. Right. At that moment, though, we immediately just sent our spouse into the closet. We sent children. We sent our parents. We sent, because now those people have not been preparing for it. However, if somebody has the sensibility of, yeah, I've always wondered about this, that closet may not be too deep for them. Right. For most spouses, children, parents,
in-laws,
that piece is like so blinding that they never saw it coming, so to speak. Very rare that I've worked with someone who's, you know, all those other people have said, yeah, I kind of got it. They may get it later after the explosion. They may come to terms with, okay, yeah, wow, I guess I didn't see that. It was there. I just didn't see it. So I'm glad you brought this up. So keep diving in here, because I think you're on a beautiful, beautiful trajectory.
Thank you. And, you know, again, it takes, I mean, I've said this millions of times, and I'm not the first one who said it, so I don't have a coined phrase, but it certainly takes two to tango. And so if you have one spouse who wants to understand, and I've found, and this is just generally, not all the time, but I've found that a lot of straight spouses try to understand because they love their spouse, right?
Yep.
And they want to help them, but sometimes they want to help them because they want to keep them too. I mean, there's so many nuances in there.
Yes.
We can talk later about you know, the dependency with where you've gotten to this as a couple, that you have one person who kind of takes care of this and you just melded, right? Mm-hmm. And suddenly that's broken and you flounder a lot. But ultimately, what it comes down to is it takes two people to tango. And it makes me sad, but I see it more often than not, where one spouse is trying to understand, and it's been my experience through my own filters that the straight spouse tries and the person who's come out doesn't try like they want them to. Now, it doesn't mean that they aren't in their own way trying. I mean, I can't speak to the other side as easily, but I've seen that more often than not. Straight spouses are some really strong people, let me tell you.
Well, let's go explore that a little bit, because there is a lot in there, and we could do hours just on that little bit alone. But that piece of, okay, one's working, trying to understand, and the other one's not. So,
well, they're ready to move on, really, Rick.
That's part of it.
At least that's the impression that the straight spouse gets. Like,
exactly.
Oh, okay, they're ready to go out and explore. Well, what about me, right?
Right.
And I think
that's where we misstep a lot.
Right.
It's also where we misstep sometimes because, and again, I'm going to come from my own experience. Yep. There were moments where it's like, okay, I'm good. And yeah, we're good. And then there would be little things that would get said, like, I need to know more. So my ex would say something, I need to know more. And so I'd share something like as if we were still married, because we hadn't unraveled.
We hadn't unraveled
that piece. And this is one of the key pieces for everyone, whether you're the straight spouse or the homosexual spouse, transgender, whatever it is on the other side of the fence. You can come do work with somebody like me and somebody like Emily to like kind of start sorting through. I highly, highly, highly recommend that you can be doing that work individually. But to unravel the relationship, I almost demand that they go do some work with a marriage and family therapist, just on the unraveling of the relationship. Because that's something you, if you can do it, air quotes, big air quotes here, if you can do it, it's really important, because you're not just unraveling what you knew about each other. You're unraveling years of creating and crafting and family and, you know, in-law, all this stuff. You got to unravel this stuff. And oftentimes when you don't take that time to do it, that's why you have a lot of problems in this arena. Anybody who's going through a separation, I mean, let's take the gay out of this, the bisexual, whatever. Anybody who's going through a divorce, if you don't try to work through some of this with marriage and family therapy, even if it's they cheated on me, I don't ever want to see him again, you're going to find it's going to be really hard to really unravel this and be healthy. You can go do all the work you want to do by yourself. But even just a little bit, even if it's one or two sessions with somebody who's like, okay, let's help you really start to dissect and unravel the relationship, you're going to find it's going to help a ton. My perspective, but I think it really does help.
It does. And again, it's almost like there's times where I'm sure that there are people who are listening, who, especially straight spouses, it's like, well, that's utopian thinking because, you know, they're in a scenario where the other person may not be willing to do that. But it doesn't mean that we still shouldn't have the conversation. And here's why I'm thankful for this conversation today. And in fact, I know that many straight spouses feel this way, is that, you know, if you disagree, we'll see where that goes. But I believe that the LGBTQ community has a much broader access to media right now. I don't know if that is the right way to say it, but for straight spouses to get their voices out there, it's almost, it's really nice. I think it would be really, really helpful for healing if the LGBTQ community would address the straight spouse more frequently.
Well, I'm going to chime in there with you because I'm in agreement.
Okay.
I don't think it's just the LGBTQ community. I think it's society as a whole. Because the straight spouse, the mixed orientation marriage, isn't being talked about anywhere.
Not enough.
Because everybody kind of, again, my perception is that everybody kind of looks at this like, oh, really? Is there really that many people dealing with this? We got kids, we got teens, we got young people who are dealing with this day in and day out, being bullied. Well, guess what? The straight spouse and the gay spouse, they're being bullied too, because if this was brought to the forefront, my opinion, I think we'd start to see some huge societal shifts around, oh my gosh, this isn't just teens and 20-somethings. We've got baby boomers, Gen Xers, you know, really dealing with this day in and day out. So I agree with you 100%, Emily. This is a media thing that needs to be brought to the forefront more and more and more and more.
I agree. And I think ultimately if people start to, I don't know, set the example or model that kind of, hey, here's what you should do. It actually may, here's my hope, Rick, is that having a conversation like this or my TED Talk or the other, I mean, there's so many amazing writers out there who are straight spouses that have put things out there, that if just one person who is LGBTQ who wants to come out and can't, can actually feel some guidance in that area. It is so important for any kind of healing to happen on both sides. And so, and I'm blessed with lots of opportunities, but, you know, it was kind of funny. I remember thinking when I first found out about Devin, and by the way, he is an amazing individual, totally come clean about everything, and we have a great relationship. So I want to make sure to reiterate that. I remember when I first found out, we were heavily involved in a fundamentalist Christian church. So that adds an extra layer. And I think a lot of people dealt with that. But I remember when we were going through counseling, I actually said to the counselors, like, I have this vision that we're going to be on stage, going on tour and talking about how we made it. And he came out of the closet. We have a stronger relationship now. And he changed and he accepted that it was a choice. I was picturing myself being on stage doing that. Mm-hmm. And the hysterical thing now to me, because I love how the universe works, that now I get to do things like that. And it's way different than what I had experienced. Yeah. And it's better in a lot of ways because I get the opportunity in this very short life that I have no guarantees in to be able to do something worthy to help other people. So, yeah, that's it.
I love that because it is when we can make that shift and we can see what we get to do. In a different way. I mean, we had this conversation off the air about how I'm taking what I do at this point and really talking about everybody's coming out of something. So let's talk about the people who are dwelling in cubicles in corporate America who are miserable and really want to run their own business, but they are afraid to come out because as soon as they say, this is what I want to do, people are going to start questioning it. Well, how are you going to make any money? You can't do that. You know, and here we go. It's kind of that same sort of thing. I'm curious about something that you said, because I think this is a interesting space to go play in too, where, you know, you said you now have this great relationship. You really respect Devin and all that stuff, but you also said he came clean. Mm-hmm. How much of that coming clean does a straight spouse really want to hear, do you think?
Well,
because this is a place that I dance a lot. You know, I will get people asking me how much, and I'm like, you know, it's a crapshoot because in a high energy situation, somebody will say, you need to tell me everything. Okay, well, do you, you know, and I remember saying these words, do you really want me to tell you everything? Yes. And even then I would hold back because I'm like, I don't think so. And I remember the day that I took my ex to lunch to tell her that I was going to be on the Ricky Lake show, the new Ricky Lake show, not the one where it was a lot of crazy stuff. And I said, you know, I'd really like you to be there, but I also respect that, you know, I don't want you to get put in that limelight if you don't need to be. And she goes, let me think on it. And I said, Anne, I need to come completely clean now. Now, this was 10 years later. And that was the moment I felt like I could come really clean and say, it wasn't just the one guy. There were guys the whole time. And I knew it hurt, but I also believe, and you know, she's not here to back this up, but I also felt the energy because of the relationship we had where she was able to hear that and it not be something that like took her someplace that really wasn't who she would have been. If I had said that like a year into it, 3 months into it, I don't know if she could have taken that. So that's why I'm asking this question. And I know it's a loaded question because everybody's different.
That's right. That's true. Well, I can speak from my own experience. I know that there were times where I wanted to know something and I knew he wasn't telling me everything. Mm-hmm. And I know that his motivation was that he didn't want to hurt me anymore. Yeah. I know that, you know, because I know him. There's a reason I married him and there's a reason he married me. We loved each other. The thing that would be an issue, though, is if I would find out some other way.
Yeah.
And he hadn't told me. So I think the best way is just if you ask, you know, they want to know. Now, I think it depends on the space that you're in. Mm-hmm. I think that there is some value if you are having a conversation in your counseling session to do mm-hmm. it there. I used written words a lot. Mm-hmm. I felt that I was much more guarded when I could step, you know, the best letter ever written was the one never sent, right?
Right.
And because you'd get the opportunity to vent, I learned quickly to step away, maybe an hour, come back and cut out all the stuff and just get down to the meat.
Yeah.
That's advice I would give to anyone, whether it was dealing with a situation we're dealing with or any kind of relationship. And I learned that quickly. Then he would be able to digest and mm-hmm. find the right words. And then either we would come together and talk about it in person or we do it online or, you know, through email. Now you want to be careful with that too, but sure. It's just a way to have a stopgap measure to kind of keep yourself from having a freak out, right? Because yeah. As soon as I get mad, it's over.
I think that's important too, is understanding what your over is. And I know as we were going through it, neither one of us early on and even lately, because we kind of have gotten to a place where we're not doing some stuff together, but that's okay because it's 17 years, 18 years later at this point, and yeah. Life has changed and the stuff that's going on really isn't about the two of us. It's about other stuff. Learning what your stop is and really going, okay, I'm going over the edge is a beautiful lesson to learn, not only in this scenario, but because it's a very charged space. To go, okay, I know this is what's going to get me there and this is how I feel when I'm there. To be able to stop and breathe, which is, I know people are going to go, I can't even breathe because this is so heavy. I hear you. I hear you more than you probably realize I hear you. But being able to right. see those pieces of ourselves is what's going to save us a lot of times.
Well, and I think, Rick, that ultimately, you know, one of the pieces of advice that I gave in my TED Talk, and again, it's so general and you can apply it to anything, but, you know, ultimately it comes down to knowing who you are and loving yourself, right? And so when you just had a crisis in your relationship where a spouse comes out, and you likely might not know who you are apart from that person. I held on tightly. I found every way that I could to manipulate him because I didn't want to be apart from him. I didn't know who I was. I floundered for several years figuring out who the heck I was.
So you know what? I think this is going to be where we say what I said we were going to do. We're having such a great conversation that to find out what really happened when Emily started to figure out who she was. Yeah. I think y'all are going to have to tune in to the next episode to see what happens next.
All right, so there you have it. We've had our first part of the interview with Emily Reese and what it's like to be the spouse of someone who's coming out of the closet. I think she's absolutely awesome, and I can't wait to share more of her with you tomorrow. So if you've liked what you've heard today, make sure you give us a little bit of love. You know how we do this. We go to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever that might be. Give us some ratings and reviews. And if not, well, that's okay too. We know you love us because you're listening, you're subscribing, you're downloading our podcast. And if you want to be part of the bigger family, why don't you hop on over there to Facebook, find the Coming Out Coach, and join. We'd love to see you over there as well. So let's not keep you in too much suspense. You just got to wait 24 hours. Yes, tomorrow, October the 12th, and you'll hear the second part of Emily's interview about being the spouse on the other side of the closet door. With that, we're going to leave you, as we always do, with a beautiful wish to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, and you've been listening to the Coming Out Lounge. Have a good day, everyone.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.